And we get this hour rolling by talking some Patriots football. And to do that, we check in on the G&M Family Market phone line with Andy Hart, the assistant editor of Patriots Football Weekly. Andy, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing great, thanks. We've had a few days to process what happened in the draft and learn some new information, too, including how Bill Parcells is trying to get back at the Patriots for not putting him in the Hall of Fame.
Is that why he forced a quarterback in the third round down our throats? Because, it was certainly interesting to read his comments about Jacoby Brissett. And no pressure on the kid. I think he just compared him to about six other Patriots Hall of Famers, you know, a place he wants to be someday.
Absolutely. So let's start with Brissett. Why and what does it mean for Jimmy Garoppolo going forward?
Well, I think, you know, if you just want to do, you know, the surface, you know, as Nick Caserio said, they only had two quarterbacks on the roster. They were going to add one at some point, so they added one in the third round of the draft. But obviously it goes much deeper than that, because if you're just adding a third quarterback, you can do that in free agency, undrafted, seventh round. This is clearly a guy they like, and, you know, he was a productive quarterback. I mean, his numbers are impressive, good touchdown-interception ratio, athletic, can make some wild plays with his leg, prototypical size, 6'4", you know, 230-plus, 240. And having the recommendation of Bill Parcells, you know, as a guy and a worker, certainly can't hurt. And, you know, I think you look at it, there's a timeline here that you really have to be aware of. And when they drafted Jimmy Garoppolo in the second round a couple of years ago, Bill Belichick brought up, you know, Tom Brady's age and contract situation. Well, since then, the contract situation has changed because he signed a two-year extension that has him here for another 4 years. And age really hasn't seemed to change. You know, he's still playing at least a mid-30s quarterback, if not an early 30s quarterback. So, you know, as things sort of play out, Jimmy Garoppolo's done in 2 years. Tom Brady's here for 4 years. So those don't jive. And I think, you know, at this point, maybe the best-case scenario with all the factors of the quarterback position would be, you know, it's looking like Tom Brady could be suspended for the first four games. Looking like Jimmy Garoppolo's going to start those first four games. Well, if he goes out there and is impressive and lights it up, you might be able to trade him and get something for him. Certainly, you know, a second-round pick that you used on him, or maybe, if he's good enough, maybe a first-round pick in a NFL that needs quarterbacks. So I think there was a timeline in place here, and they found a guy that they really liked, that they wanted to sort of reset the clock on. And is he the backup in a year? Maybe. Is he the heir to Brady? We'll see.
Andy, when I look up and down the Patriots draft choices, especially in the mid-rounds, there seems to be a lot of value. One guy I'm familiar with is Malcolm Mitchell, the wide receiver out of Georgia, who seems to be a very tough, hard-nosed guy. But the Patriots haven't really shown the best judgment in drafting wide receivers in the last few years. What is there to like about Mitchell?
There's a lot to like. It'd probably be a shorter answer if I told you what there's not to like, because that's simply the fact that he had a knee injury. Other than that, there's, you know, the fact that he comes from a pro-style offense in which they forced their wide receivers to make reads at, before, and after the snap, much like you'll have to do in New England, and an issue that has tripped up a lot of young receivers coming to New England. Ultimate production. I think he's third or fourth in the history of Georgia football with like 175 receptions. Has some ability to return the ball on kickoff. Off the field, just, you know, I'm sure everybody knows by now the story of how he entered Georgia with a junior high reading level, realized it was a problem, worked endlessly on it, joined a book club with 50 and 60-year-old women, wrote a kid's book. There's not a much better story off the field than that. So I think Malcolm, you know, despite the fact you look at him as a fourth-round pick, which is lower than Aaron Dobson and lower than Taylor Price, there's a lot of factors in place to believe, okay, this could be a guy that, A, this year could unseat Dobson and end the Aaron Dobson era, and B, you know, down the road, you know, Nate Washington, the veteran they signed this offseason, no lock, he makes the team, and no lock, he's on this team for more than a year. This could be a developmental outside receiver that gives them a little bit of a boost. And, you know, Robert Kraft kind of alluded to that in the video, if you guys saw it, in the war room on Patriots.com, when he called Malcolm Mitchell and said, you know, he knows a quarterback named Brady that's been looking for a guy like him. So will it work? It hasn't very often for them, but there's a lot of reasons to believe it might this time.
We're talking with Andy Hart of Patriots Football Weekly. So, Andy, overall, how do you feel the Patriots addressed what needs they could address in the draft?
I think they did a decent job. You know, they went, I personally thought cornerback was the top need. They went out with their top pick and selected a cornerback who also returns punts. I think will fight for that role immediately and probably going to fight for a role as one of your top three cornerbacks to start the season. So I love that pick. After that, it seemed like there was a lot of sort of depth picks, developmental picks, you know, a quarterback. And they didn't address what I sort of think were the next two needs, which were the running back position and the tackle position. You know, the early offensive lineman they took, Tooney, is going to be a guard or a center, so he doesn't help you at tackle. And they didn't take, you know, the Karras kid until late in the draft. Who knows what he can be? He's a guard. So I don't think you addressed tackle, and you certainly didn't address running back, even though there were probably some guys that, you know, fans knew and were on the board. The Patriots had a chance to pick. They didn't go after it. So I like the top pick, and if Cyrus Jones is a, you know, starter for the next 5 or 6 years at cornerback, that's a good start to having a good draft. But I would have liked to have seen a running back and a tackle, too.
Andy, other than Cyrus Jones, who do you figure will have the most immediate impact? Do you think it could be the defensive tackle from Nebraska, Vincent Valentine?
I don't. You know, he's sort of a guy that's a questionable work ethic, an underachiever, big body, and a lot of big bodies ahead of him on the depth chart. You know, you look at Malcolm Brown, came in and had a nice rookie year as a first-round pick a year ago. They bring back Alan Branch. They bring in Terrence Knighton, who is a very good professional player. So you have three experienced guys ahead of him on the depth chart, and that's not even taking into account, you know, the Joe Villanos of the world and some of the other guys he might be competing with. So I think he faces an uphill battle to just, you know, even be get the rotational reps. I think he's probably going to be a low rep guy for them on defense, assuming no one gets hurt. I'm sort of intrigued by some of the athletes they took, and they'll obviously be making an impact first in the kicking game, but Rudaire Hill and Landon Roberts. Rudaire Hill is a guy that Bill Belichick described as built like a safety, plays linebacker, and that's a role that Bill's been trying to fill for years. And so obviously that's a guy coming in play on special teams, and then maybe he can, you know, carve out a niche for himself in nickel and dime packages. And Landon Roberts is a guy that is an athletic force and you know, not really a finesse guy despite his undersize, but led the nation in solo tackles last year, a breakout senior season. So certainly seems to have the instincts to get to the football and is not afraid to run through people to get there. So I think he's an intriguing guy. But quite frankly, I don't think anybody beyond Cyrus Jones is really guaranteed to make the roster or guaranteed to have a role with this team. I think they're all competitive bodies that are going to be put in solid competition roles. But, you know, I think they're going to have to earn anything they get.
Andy, do you see them, as we get closer and closer to camp, do you see them bringing in some other veterans? Anybody, I don't want to say off the scrap heap, but some experienced guys that might be further Bill Belichick reclamation projects?
Yeah, I think they have to. I mean, I'll be stunned if they don't add another running back at some point. I know they have LeGarrette Blount. They brought him back sort of later in free agency, coming off the injury and coming off what I thought was just an okay year. They brought in Donald Brown. They don't have a lot of depth there. Donald Brown is no guarantee to make the team. He was not very good in San Diego for the most part and has really been a disappointment as a first-round pick. You have Deion Lewis starting the year, probably at least camp on PUP, and probably won't be himself till at least midseason, if not beyond then. James White is sort of came on late last year but then struggled, you know, in the AFC title game. You don't have depth there. So I know a lot of fans have said maybe Arian Foster, but he's coming off a major injury, too, and Jamal Charles, the name has been thrown around. Major injury, too, with Achilles for Foster, ACL for Charles. So I would think it's probably more of a guy we're not talking about, maybe a lower-level guy that we don't even really know is either available in trade or we're not really, you know. I hearken back, it's been a long time, but Antoine Smith in 2001, I can remember strolling onto the field late in May or early in June in an off-season practice as a late addition to the team, and he went on to be a 1,000-yard running back for that team and be a key force to help them win the Super Bowl. So I think you could see something like that at the running back position, and quite frankly, I'd be surprised if you didn't.
The folks out at Bovada in Vegas are convinced that even perhaps without Tom Brady for four games, the Patriots are the team to beat. They're the favorites right now for Super Bowl 51. Does that start with the coach and the quarterback, even if it's only for 12 games?
Yeah, I think it's the coach, the quarterback, the tight end, Rob Gronkowski. When he's healthy, he certainly makes them a force. And the addition we haven't talked about of Michael Bennett, Martellus Bennett, is Michael's brother at the tight end position, giving them, in my opinion, the best tight end tandem they've had in Tom Brady's time here, in a really unique combo that could keep up opposing defenses with their versatility, ability to catch the ball, ability to bring them in and block. I think this offense is going to be really good, you know, no matter who the quarterback is, probably, but certainly when Tom Brady's out there. And I also think it's a little bit about the questions for the other teams. You know, you look at the Patriots have a known question or sort of a defined question. Tom Brady suspended, he misses four games, but then he comes back healthy and fresh and ready to go. You look at Denver, for example, defending AFC champion, Super Bowl champion. They don't have a quarterback. Who's the quarterback going to be? Starts here. Is it Sanchez? Is it Lynch? Who knows? You know, you look at the Steelers, they have their own questions. You look at the Bengals, they have a quarterback issue themselves and some questions to deal with, turnover at the receiver position. So, you know, I think it's as much about, you know, the Patriots being the most balanced, well-rounded football team in the AFC, certainly, maybe in all of football. And so that'll allow them, theoretically, I think, to overcome whatever happens if and when Brady might not be out there. So I kind of agree with it. I think the Patriots, certainly come December and January, are going to be the best team in football if they avoid major injuries.
Do you think the new safeties coach might be the difference maker?
He could be. You never know. He said, you know, Steve Belichick met with the media for the first time this week, is what you're alluding to, and, you know, quite frankly, was very entertaining. You know, it was about a 16-minute interview, and told a bunch of jokes, was laughing, was, you know, very much acknowledged who he was, and, you know, he said he's known since he was 4 years old, 5 years old, that he wanted to be a football coach. And as soon as he learned what a role model and an idol was, he wanted to be his dad. He wants to be the best coach just like his dad. And he acknowledges he's got a long ways to go and everybody in the building knows more than him. But that's going to be a fun story to watch. But certainly he'll be under fire if the safeties struggle. If Devin McCourty is giving up, you know, long plays down the field, I'm sure there will be some questions about, you know, Belichick getting the job just because of his dad and maybe not because he earned it, but he's been in the background for 4 years. You know, they promote from within, and Steve Belichick has been doing the dirty work for 4 years now, so it's not like he just, you know, dove in here and took over the job without putting some behind-the-scenes work, and he's worked his way up. Now we'll see if he can maximize it, but I will say, it's a lot more enjoyable to interview at press conferences than his dad is.
I don't doubt that for a moment. Hey, Andy, great talking with you. As always, thanks for checking in with us this afternoon, and we'll visit with you again very soon.
Sounds good. Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.